We're still discussing the midah of the nikius, which is being totally free from even the subtle parts of a sin. We'll explain that every sin has its more obvious, more intense areas, and then the very subtle areas, and they're all part of that sin. Till now we discussed stealing. Stealing is robbing somebody's wallet, right? Breaking in their house, right? And taking their things, right? Pickpocketing somebody's wallet, that's obviously stealing. But we mentioned a million different other kinds of cases where a person takes from other people what's not theirs, and that's also called stealing. Those are the subtle areas of stealing. In order to fulfill the midah of nikius, you have to be clean not only from not stealing in the most unrefined way, but even in the more subtle ways also, to be clean of any kind of taking of something that's not yours, that belongs to somebody else. Okay, we're in the middle of Perek Yud Aleph. The paragraph that says V'hine dibarti ad heina. Where's it in the... Page what? Page 48, second to the last paragraph. V'hine dibarti ad heina miprote mitzvah achas mina mitzvahs. I gave you one example, one mitzvah of gezel, of how many details, subtle details there are that included in what it means not to steal. Ubiprote chilukim eila vadei shenimtzoyim b'chol mitzvah mitzvah. You can do this with every single mitzvah. Every mitzvah has its more obvious, right, parts, and the less obvious, more subtle parts. But I'm not going to mention those mitzvahs that most people aren't over. So he's not going to speak about sacrificing your children to Molech, right, or other averas that we're not usually guilty of. But he's going to speak about those averas that even Chazal said, Rov b'nei Adam are nichshol in them. And the next one, so the first one is Gezel. Gezel is something that everybody has some kind of connection with, of taking things that aren't theirs. Sometimes they think, you know, justified or whatever, I didn't know, right, that I was taking something that wasn't mine, and that somehow makes it okay. It doesn't make it okay. He didn't know, so he took something of somebody else's. Just like saying, I didn't know it was treif, so I ate it. That doesn't mean you can continue eating it. You have to chew it. So because you didn't know and you took something that belongs to someone else does not mean that it's okay. Now he's going to explain another isser that most people have problems with. V'nedaber ato min ha'arayos. Shigam hei min ha'chamurim. First of all, arayos is something that is a big yetzer hara for most people. And it is something that's very serious, because most of the onshim for arayos or kores or misa, very serious punishments. And they are something that nafsho shel adam mechandosan, that people have a yetzer hara for, and that the Gemara says that most people are nichshol, if not in the more obvious things, but in the subtleties of this. So we're going to discuss these things, and Bein Hadvarim, I think we'll use this as a not an excuse, but as a trigger to speak about tznius and speak about some of the issues on the moshav that have to do with tznius or whatever. Okay. So let's start first what he says, and then we will, over the next few weeks, speak about this part of the Mesillas Yesharim in great detail. V'heim shnayim b'madrega l'gezel. This is second to gezel. Gezel affects more people and is also very serious, as he explained. And second in importance or in how much people are involved with it is arayos. Kimamarim Zal, Zele Sholom, Rubam the Gezel, most people are nichshel somehow in Gezel, like we said, the subtleties of Gezel, Umiyutom the Arayas, and a minority of people, but a Miut HaMotzui, are involved in Arayas, right? And again, not in incest, or in what's it called, infidelity, in what's it called, adultery, but in the more subtle areas of Arayas. V'hinei mi sheyirtza lehinokos legamri mizachet, gam lo titzorich melocha lemuedes. If you want to clean yourself from this sin completely, you need a lot of work. It doesn't happen by itself. Ki ein bechlal ha'isr gufo shel ma'aseh bilvad, because like we've said until now, the Isra of Arayas is not merely the worst you can do. Right? Commit adultery, commit incest, or something like that. Anything that is peripheral to that, that brings you closer to that, is also prohibited, sometimes rabbinically, sometimes in the Torah. But it's included in the Parsha of Arayas. Umikra molehu, lo sikrivu legalos erva. Right? It's, you're prohibited to do anything that brings you close to Bimagala Erva. And the truth is that this is a machlokas rishonim, whether this is from the Torah or only rabbinic. Even though the Torah says lo sikrivu, and the rabbis learn from there that even hugging, kissing, which is not mamish relations, which is arayis, is also asur. Right? There's a question, the machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ramban, whether that is a bona fide limud and it's mamish min haTorah. And if a person hugs or kisses or has any physical contact in a way that's derech chiba, that's with affection, affectionate contact, is already over an issur d'oraisa and you get malchus for it. That's the Rambam sheet. And the Ramban says that it's asur min haTorah, and you get Malkus Midrabanan, but it's not a Torah prohibition, but it's a rabbinic prohibition. The Omru Chazal, Omra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Al Tomar, Omra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kishem She'im Nodar Nozer Shalolishtos Yayin, Osir Lechol Anovim Lachim Diyaveshim, Umishras Anovim, Lechol Hayotzi Migefen Hayayin, Af Isha She'ina Sholcha, Osir Li Baba Kol Iker. And so too, just like we find by a Nozer, the Torah made harchokos. He's not allowed to drink wine, but stay away from grapes, from even the peels of grapes, even from the pits. Don't walk around the Kerem. Don't walk through a vineyard if you're a Nazir. So too, right? Affectionate contact. And we'll see it includes other things aside from physical contact with someone, between a man and a woman who are not married. Aside from a father to a daughter, a granddaughter, or a mother to a son, grandson, and then maybe the other way around too, a grandchild to a grandparent, or great-grandparent, or great-great-great-grandparent, right? Except usually if you're dead, it doesn't make a difference altogether, so we're not going to go past that. The chomi shenogea b'isha shena shalom, maybe misali asman. Therefore, even though it usually puts the onus on a man, it's always talking about touching a woman that you're not married to, or that's not your daughter or whatever, but the same isra applies to the woman. It's not just an isra on the man, it's an isra on the woman too, equally. But men are considered more culpable in these things because they're more the initiators than the women. So but Lamaisa, if you're a woman, think about it the other way. It's not just also for a man, it's also for a woman too. V'habeit maniflu divrei ha-maimer hazeh ki him sheles ha-isr hazeh le-nozer asher hu afa b'she'ikar isr ha-ein al-shtiyas yayin. Very similar to the isr of Nozer. Nozer, the isr is drinking wine. That's what he's not allowed to do. But in order to preserve that, the Torah prohibited him also from eating grapes. Because if you eat grapes, you're just one step away from drinking wine. So in order to stay far away from the isser of drinking wine, the Torah also prohibited the isser of eating grapes. And from Nazir, again, from this medrash, it would seem that just like the Torah prohibited eating grapes, the Torah also prohibited any peripheral contact between men and women. And that would be like the Rambam. But the way the Masilas Yesharim says it now, that's not necessarily the case. What we learn from Nazir is, just like by Nazir, you see the Torah was concerned that if we let you do something peripheral, you're going to end up doing what's really Aser. The rabbis learned from that, that where the Torah didn't say that openly, that they had a responsibility to make rabbinic prohibitions. We learn from Nazir, not that it's the same thing. And therefore it could be like the Ramban, that the rabbi said that since physical contact leads to worse things and worse things and worse things, and we'll see that it's not just what it's going to lead to, but the thing itself is something wrong with it, right? Therefore, they said, stay away from anything that could bring you even remotely to do an issa in these areas of arayis. Ki yilmedu min hanazer leser bavur ha'ikar kol d'domele. That aside from the major sin, anything that's similar to it or will bring you to it, right, will is also aser. The nimsa she'asa Torah b'mitzvah zo shel nazir masha masre lechachamim sheyasu b'shar kol ha'mitzvah. We see over here the Torah, you gave an example. The Torah said, I want you to learn from me. Just like over here, I made a fence around the iser. I want you to do similar things where you see it's necessary. It left it up to the rabbis to decide where it's necessary to make those fences. We learn, and this is an interesting point, there's a Ritva in Erevin that says this. We normally think that the prohibitions of the rabbinic prohibitions are purely rabbinic, but they're not. The rabbis made their prohibitions based on what they felt the desire of the Torah was. Sometimes the Torah says something open. You're not allowed to do this. Well, the Torah didn't say that. Sometimes the Torah gave the rabbis a hint. I don't want to... God said, look, I'm not going to prohibit this. But I think it's a good idea for the people who are responsible to guard Klal Yisrael from doing Averas. That would be a good idea if you made such an enactment. I'm giving you that power. I don't want to make it prohibited from the Torah. But I want it to be a rabbinic enactment, but the God didn't tell the rabbis to do it, but there's hints in the Torah that that's God's will. I want that, even though I'm not commanding it. And when the rabbis got that hint, that's when they made their takanas, usually on the hint that they found in the Torah that this would be a positive thing. This would be a protection to the Torah or whatever. But it's not purely something the rabbis dreamt up. It's something the rabbis saw in the Torah that that's God's will, even though it's not his command. Okay. And therefore, wherever the Torah prohibited something, it's inevitable that in order to protect, that you shouldn't transgress that, there's always things that the rabbis did to prevent you. The Torah says, don't eat chametz. The rabbi said, don't leave chametz around your house because you're used to eating chametz all year. If you leave it around the house, you're going to forget yourself and you're going to end up eating it. So get it out of the house. Cover it up. Build a mechitza. Put it locked in a locked cabinet, whatever. That way you have less of a chance of coming to do the issur. And similar to every other thing, chametz, basar, b'chalav, right? Not allowed to eat meat and milk cooked together. But if you're going to have them at the same table, you may end up cooking them together and eating them together. So don't bring them to the same table, and so on. Right? All of this, you know, there are people who say that the rabbis made life hard for us, right? Because if the Torah, if we just keep the Torah the way it was, without all the rabbinic prohibitions, life would be very easy. Right? Just we're learning basar b'chalav. What would be asr? To make a cheeseburger, perhaps. Okay, make what's it called? Cook your steak in milk. okay, and then what's it called, eat it. That's all that's awesome, to cook it and then to eat the product. But to drink a glass of milk together with your steak is not prohibited at all. Be perfectly okay to do. So if it wouldn't be for the Torah, wouldn't be for the rabbis, life would be very easy. You may not even need two sets of dishes, right? You could just leave it for 24 hours and you could use the same dish for milchiks and fleishiks, all rabbinic. I could eat milchiks and fleishiks at the same meal, just can't cook them together. So the rabbis made life hard, right? All these laws are mostly rabbinic. Pesach for sure. If it wouldn't be for the Dinei Derabanan, you could get up Erev Pesach, not clean your house, not do any preparations for Pesach in cleaning, get up Erev Pesach and say, all the chametz I have in my house is dust and bottle and ownerless, and that's it. And you can leave all the chametz in your house and go on the whole Pesach like that, and you have no problem. Okay? How much life would be easier if that's all you had to do? And the rabbis came along and said, no, you have to make bedikas chametz and beer chametz and clean it up and get it in a place where it's restricted. It's all rabbinic. So rabbis made our lives very difficult, right? I always like to compare it to the following. People are up on a mountain, and they have, let's say, 300 square feet of area on top of the mountain to be able to walk around. But the mountain has a sheer drop of 1,000 feet. That means if you walk one step off the mountain in the dark or whatever, you're going to fall down 1,000 feet, and that's the end. So somebody comes and he decides it's very dangerous, because people walk around that 300 square foot area and they could get, you know, quote, fall off the mountain without even knowing about it. And falling off the mountain is pretty serious. So somebody who realizes how serious it is to fall off 1,000 foot sheer drop builds a fence around the mountain. Now you don't have 300 square feet to walk anymore. You only have 250 square feet, because a good portion of the mountain was cut off by the fence, right? And if you go over the fence, you'll fall over the fence, but not over the mountain, because they left enough space that if you fall over the fence, you'll fall still on the mountain. But you'll know that you fell, and you know that you better get back across the fence, because a little few more steps, you'll be over the mountain. So you won't be able to walk off the mountain, you know, by not realizing where you are. You'll know, you'll hit the fence, that you're getting close to the end of the mountain. So what idiot would say, hey, this guy who made the fence made life harder for us, right? It's harder to fall off the mountain now. Yeah, it is harder to fall off the mountain. But that doesn't make your life harder. It makes your life easier, because now you have a better chance of living. If you don't understand how serious it is to fall off a mountain, then you could say such a thing. Hey, this guy cramped my style. He took away, you know, 50 feet of the area that I could walk in. Now I can't walk in that whole area. Yeah, but he also preserved your life, that you shouldn't fall unwittingly over the mountain. So if you understand how serious it is to fall off the mountain, even by accident, I didn't mean it, right? As you're going down, you said, but I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't know the mountain was there. Too bad. That's the end. Right? So the Rabbanan didn't make your life harder. They made it harder to destroy your life. That's all. They understood how serious it would be if you eat basar b'cholov. How serious it would be if you ate chametz of Pesach. How serious it would be if you were over any of these isurim of arayis or whatever. So they limited what you can do, but the purpose of it is you shouldn't fall off the mountain. So they make your life harder. They made your life more secure. That's what the isurei derabbanan are.